This episode is brought to you by Summer School Electronics. With pedals like the Snow Day Delay, the Pep Rally Fuzz, the Trash Panda, and my personal favorite, the Science Fair, which is two classic dirt pedals in one with a mid-boosted overdrive on one side, a black lab rat circuit on the other, and a blend knob to blend between them to find the perfect classic stacked dirt sound you're looking for, it's hard not to find something you'll love. Mark builds all of his pedals by hand in Syracuse, New York, where he also works as a full-time educator. In addition to the super fun graphics on their pedals, Mark also offers custom artwork. Want your dog's face on a pedal? He can do it. Want your face on a pedal? He can make that happen too. Go over to summerschoolelectronics.com and make sure to tell them that 40 Watt Podcast sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome 40 Watt Podcast. Welcome episode 1, season 3. Look at us, y'all. Season 3.
Oh, yep. Wow. This is a season
premiere. This is the season premiere. No one thought we'd make it. Look how far we've come. I'm not going to keep quoting Shania Twain.
Usually Netflix cancels you after 2 seasons.
That's true. They've milked you for all the money you're worth. They're not going to wait for their writers to ruin the last season. Game of Thrones, I'm looking at you. they've already ended it by that point. So, but here we are, season 3, bigger, badder than ever. I don't know if that's true. It might be. We're going to see. But I'm super excited to get started. Y'all, I've got Steve from the 60 Cycle Hum podcast on the episode today. It's a little bit of a departure from our normal setup. I am going to we're going to have some conversations. I'm going to sprinkle some in throughout the year of just having conversations about the industry, gear, music, things we like, going to shows, those kinds of things to supplement the interview format of some of the other episodes. So really excited to get back at it. Steve, how are you doing? New year.
Yeah, new year, same me.
I was going to say new year, new you.
That's how it goes, yeah. Right? I was going to say you said a bigger, badder than ever, and I'm like, no, I'm just bigger, softer than ever.
Same. Oh my gosh, same. I'm trying to just like everybody else on the planet, trying to get my eating back right and going back to the gym like I used to. And
yeah. Oh, I'm not even trying. I'm just like whatever. I'm over.
I'm not going to the gym though. I am one of those people that has decided I don't go to the gym the first month of the year. I find something else to do.
I've always heard it's crazy. I've never had a gym membership. I think I've been in like a hotel gym.
It gets bad. It gets really, really bad. And I've decided, I heard this from somebody else, so I can't even say it's original, but I think it's a fun idea. Start a gym so that it starts on January 1, and it's called Resolutions. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the first month, it transitions to being a bar.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's beautiful. I think it'll work.
That could work.
I think it would absolutely work. So coming out of 2022, we're gonna do the typical sort of year in review. We're gonna condense it a little bit though, because I think every podcast has covered the gear of 2022. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna give a best of list. If you want to go over through some of that, you can go over listen to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I was on their Gear of the Year.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't listened to
you
those.
You should. I argued a lot and Blake disagreed with me and it was great. We had a fantastic time. We despite Blake's best efforts, a Strat ended up in the Gear of the Year for the guitar. Blake fought it tooth and nail. Look, we almost had two. So
two Strats. Yeah, that's
one
illegal.
Of them's one
that's
of them's
terrible.
Technically a Silver Sky, but whatever. I'm not giving away what won. I'm not giving any of it away. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it, Guitar Nerds. It was a lot of fun. I love talking to Joe and Matt, and of course Blake's always a blast to talk to. But so 2022, Steve, what did 22 look like for you for gear? How'd you do?
I don't know. I'm reviewing that right now. I figure most of the things I bought on PayPal. Mm. So I'm trying to go through. I know I bought at least 2 Caroline pedals last year.
That's nice.
You remembered, because I didn't, that I traded my Yamaha bass for a PV T20.
Hey, man, I'm always going to remember some PV.
I bought the same base that you have right behind you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Lake Placid.
And you had a slightly different experience with yours Squire. Than I did.
Yeah, yeah, mine was, I like mine.
No, I love mine, but I had to do almost nothing to it. Like, it came.
Oh, yeah, I know, I had to make some tweaks. It was a little high. I still need to finish making those tweaks. I bought it right when I moved.
Oh, yes.
Like, maybe I bought it a couple weeks after, or a month after I moved, and I never got around to finishing that setup work.
Yeah.
I think that's, I bought a Tim this year.
Ooh, did you?
Yeah, I have not used it once. I opened the box. I said, yep, that's a Tim. I took a picture of it.
I also bought a Tim in 2022.
I bought a compressor this year. I bought my first compressor. Everything's going to be I bought a thing that I haven't played.
Because you moved. We understand.
I bought the collaboration devices compressor. So I bought I just buy expensive things to have them. I'm the worst kind of gear Stop. Nerd.
You're yelling at me now. You're yelling at me.
So I've never owned a compressor. I guess like I have the compressor in my HX Stomp.
Okay,
right?
Does no, because this Not is really. Weird because you're a bassist first, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And you've never owned a compressor.
No, because I just figure if you hit the strings hard enough, the amp will compress it for you.
Oh yeah, no, that totally tracks with your background and the kind of bands you've played in. That tracks.
Oh, you know what? I bought Honey Picks this year. Oh
yeah, that's good.
I do really like Honey Picks.
Me too. I like Rick. Shout out to one of my Patreon supporters. You too can become a Patreon supporter over at patreon.com/40wattpodcast. Anyway, I digress. Yeah.
I think that's everything. I think I bought a lot of postage this year.
Yeah.
But no, I think the things I've owned a Tim before. I bought one real cheap and I sold it for like $300. Ooh. One of like the version ones or version twos. Yeah.
And of course now those go for which,
stupid money. I know. But everything does, right? Like, you know, and you can always, this is the problem. And I forget what show. Oh, I was listening to Phil McKnight the other day. I've actually been finding that like, Phil is the wizened, you know, older Gen Xer podcaster, yeah, right?
I've really gotten into his stuff lately too. YouTube guy. I did not watch Phil's stuff for a long time, and now I've been really watching it.
And one of the things that he talked about is basically how many times he hears people say, when they talk about this is the guitar that got away, or, you know, this is whatever that got away. Or, it's never about the thing that he said was, it's never about, I really wish I still had that 1961 Fender Stratocaster. That's the best Stratocaster I've ever played. It was, man, I wish I still had that 1961 Stratocaster because I bought it for $1,000 and it's worth $70,000 now. Like, it's all about the money. Yeah. It's like, no. And so his whole thing is like, well, no, you don't wish that you had a 1961 Stratocaster. What you wish is that you had $70,000.
That's exactly right.
But I think the best piece that I got this year. How did I get no big ear? I definitely feel like I got some big ear pedals.
Did you not get
year.
A Pizza Fuzz?
I do have
that
a Pizza
Fuzz. That was a 2022.
Fuzz. But I didn't buy it.
Well,
so
yeah, but you got it. And I guess, okay, you get some gear that's just sent to you. That does happen.
No, I'm just saying, so it's not,
oh,
on,
it's
my,
not on your
it's
PayPal.
Not on my PayPal.
I was
going to
say, I would count that too if it's something like you actually planned on using and it isn't one of those things you just sent to you saying, hey, check this out. You know what I mean?
No, the Pizza Fuzz is super cool. That's probably the coolest piece of gear I got this year is the Pizza Fuzz. I think the two basses, actually, I keep saying I'm going to do it, but when I bought the Squire bass, that one's good enough, and it gets me back to kind of my jazz bass roots. Mm-hmm. So I need to take pictures and sell my Gibson bass, which is a thing I've been saying for like 2 months.
What kind of Gibson bass?
Or 3 months. It's a EB4. It's an EB4. I don't think there's like a good name, but if you look it up on Reverb, it's the EB14.
Okay.
So it's the 2014 four-string electric bass. Full scale. Yeah. It's the Ryan said, like, of course you bought that one. It's the most Fender Gibson product.
It is. It looks like it's got Music Man pickups. Yeah.
So
I was hoping you had like a ripper or a grabber, and I was going to be like, oh, we should talk.
No. Well, I thought about, I was kind of floating it to somebody to do a trade for a Rony little stinker. But the problem is I just kind of want to sell it. Like I just kind of want to cash it out, and which is like the homeowner plight, I guess, of like, no,
welcome to owning a boat. Basically.
Yeah. I don't need a seventh guitar. I need, you know, something to buy another cabinet to store things right. in.
Or, oh, I need to put new blades on the lawnmower, or, oh, I need to.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, owning a home is the worst thing for your gear life ever. And that can go both ways. It can go two different ways. Because for me, it went another way. Don't get me wrong. There's all the home projects and stuff that I want to do. But there's the, oh, I've got a whole house I can fill with gear now.
Yeah. I mean, that was first my thought. But like the hidden storage in my new place is there's not a lot of hidden storage. So that's kind of tricky.
Yeah, no, I would just display it out. Like my guitars would be wall art in the living room if my wife would let me get away with it. But that's me.
Yeah, in our tiny condo before, I had like two guitars under a bed, and I had a bunch of guitars shoved in a closet and this and that and whatever. Now I have all my guitars in the office, which that's already my I can tell you my best gear for 2023 is going to be my string swing racks once I get them installed. Yeah.
Make that video.
Yeah, the problem is I've been thinking about that, and originally I was going to do a corner.
Okay.
So I have two racks. Mm-hmm. I was going to do so they're the wall mounts, and I was going to do one rack on one wall and the other rack on the other wall, and just so they meet in the middle. But then I thought, like, well, I don't really want to mess with the measurements of figuring out like how far apart they need to be, so the two closest guitars don't hit each other. So then I was just like, you know what? Like, why don't I just put them on top of one another, and I'll just use one wall, and I'll figure something else to do with that wall. But then I took it, and I was over at Ryan's yesterday, and I took it, and I was just kind of visualizing what that would look like, and realized that when you only offset the guitar by like a headstock length,
yeah,
it's you're really only offsetting it by like whatever that distance
is.
And so then what happens is your bodies mostly overlap because you're only going to have like maybe 3 or 4 inches sticking out the bottom. So whatever the middle, you have your two upper guitars and then the middle ones, I think are all going to be kind of shadowed.
Well, can you instead of, you know, I'm looking at the camera like this, can you, instead of facing them like this with that rack, can you turn them?
We'll be right back.
This podcast is supported in part by String Joy Strings. I'm a snob, at least that's what people tell me. I'm never okay with good enough, and that's where String Joy Strings come in. They're better than good enough. They're the best. String Joy are making some of the finest strings available today right up the road from me in Nashville, Tennessee. They offer custom sets, balanced tension, coated strings, the works. If you need it, they can probably make it happen. You should be using String Joy Strings, and if you're going to order from them, you really could help this podcast out by clicking the affiliate link down in the description or show notes below. You get amazing strings, I get a little bit of that back to help the show keep going. It's a win-win situation. Get your String Joy Strings today.
Yeah, I mean, the headstocks, you can basically a lot. Some people do them flat. Yeah. You can turn them 90 degrees, so they're all vertical. But I think I'm gonna just end up taking some measurements and just doing the corner thing and just making it work.
Yeah,
my original idea was to do the corner thing and then have like an amp little amp station below it.
Yeah,
So I think I may just be going back to that. I just need to do it. That's the thing. I mean, that's like, it's, I've got, I know what color paint this is, and I've still got like half a can. Uh-huh. So worst case scenario, I've got some drywall plaster out of
you
the
do
garage.
It, you hate
so
it.
If I need to move stuff around, yep, just patch it up and repaint and move it somewhere else, over. I guess. Yeah. So yeah. What's your 2020? You did a lot last year.
I did a lot last year, and I've already done a lot this month because I picked up a lot of gear last year. I kind of lost my mind. I had the culmination of some long play flips and trades and sell. Mm-hmm. And I got a whole bunch of gear, got a lot of really great stuff. And then like throughout the rest of the year, I had this like moment where I was like, I have all this, and I still have, I mean, let's not pretend I don't have way too much gear. That's a dumb thing to think that I whittled down, but instead I realized I had, right. I had a bunch of stuff that I liked, but you know, I didn't have like, there's stuff that I've always said I wanted, like always said I wanted. Like one of them, mm-hmm. One that came in this month, I've always wanted a great 335. I've always wanted one my whole life.
Yeah.
And I have a 137 custom that I've played for a long time that I got for a stupid deal like 14 years ago, 13 years ago, whatever it is now. Time is a flat circle. But... I got a long time, over a decade ago. We'll just say that. Over a decade ago. And I always used that guitar as the excuse to not get a 335. So I was like, I have this guitar. Well, I just had a moment. It was that whole, we all do it. End of the year, we have this moment where we would decide, oh, there's like that revitalization moment. You're like, oh, I need to change things. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a little bit of that in here. But there's also, you know, I'm getting older. I still have this stuff I've wanted since in my 20s. And I didn't start playing guitar till I was 18. So there wasn't a ton of stuff in my teens that I wanted. But, you know, in my 20s, I was like, well, what's keeping me from getting it? Well, I don't have the money. Well, no, but I've got a shit ton of gear I'm not using. So start selling stuff. And so I did. I started making some tough decisions because I'm a person who gets attached to things easily. And just having them, which is a total hoarder mentality. I'm well aware of it. and so I got attached to things, but I started to make some tough decisions, started selling some things and trading some things. And I started to pick up some pieces that are, you know, I've wanted forever kind of stuff. And so my year has already started out pretty big. I picked up a Gibson Memphis 58 reissue 335. I picked up a custom shop 58 Les Paul.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
I can grab it. I mean, this is for the you video folks, you audio folks don't get to see this. So I picked up this.
Wow, that's really good. Nice. Yeah,
it's super nice. It's a 2013 custom shop R8. It's got the super chunky neck. This is when they were still doing things like they actually replicated. So in those 58s, the dye that they would use for the wood would seep into the nitro and spill over the fingerboard or over the binding. And so the binding would look reddish. So they recreated that for these. There's a really good... This is it's not in perfect condition. I got a good deal on it over on the gear page. But it's a little over 8.5 pounds. So for a Les Paul, that's real light.
That's not bad.
No, I love it. I've been playing it a lot. So finally got that. And then there's one more. I've picked up some other things that were part of like trade filler. You know what I mean? It was like I was trading something and we needed something to balance it. So they threw something in and like, I'm almost ashamed to say it because I'm a notorious PRS hater. I've got a PRS. I've got a Parried Smith McCarty 594.
Well, I think that's the wildest thing is because, you know, we're both in the Get Offset Discord, yeah. Right? And your own Discord. And so you talk about some of this stuff and you're like, yeah, so I bought this guitar, but like, you know, the guy didn't or I traded this for that, but, you know, it wasn't an even trade. So the guy threw in a PRS or yeah. whatever. I'm like, what? Or I think the other one was like, yeah, was it the 335 and you got and the Gibson
yeah,
Midtown?
Yeah, and actually the Midtown.
Was that together?
The Midtown I've actually is the one I traded for the PRS. And so.
Okay. And the Midtown by itself is like normal. I don't think normal people are like, yeah, I'm getting this like $3,000 guitar, but I traded a $5,000 guitar for it. So to make it even, the guy threw in a $2,000 guitar. Like.
It's in my blood. It's something I've always done. I love this part of gear trading, buying and selling. I love the talking and making a deal and figuring out, oh, what can yeah. I do to balance this? And a lot of times it's not about, and it can be, but it's not always about making money, or it's not always about making it balance perfectly. Sometimes it's about just making it interesting. Sure. And so sure. I love that stuff. And so, yeah, I've got the PRS that I'm going to hold on to for a little while. I actually don't hate it as much as I hate most PRSs. The neck's a little different. So I'll give it a little while. If I still end up where I'm like, and let's be honest, down the road, it's going to become one of those things. It's like, this can become something I really want. Which is the goal. That's always the goal. I'm not afraid to take those in between steps to get to the thing I want. Cause sometimes it's about, okay, this guitar is worth a little less, but it'll sell mm-hmm. two times faster.
For
that
sure.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. That is a thing to always, keep in mind.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And sometimes what that means is I've seen it play out like this where, yeah, you're taking like a $50 hit on a trade for what you think your item is, or, you know, you're taking some kind of hit for what you think your item is worth. But if you need the money faster, you know, you can move the traded or the receiving item faster. And two, you know, a lot of times I've found that like, I want to say I want $300 for this. I'm going to trade it for a $200 item. Right. If I would have kept the $300 item, I would have eventually like gotten hit with so many $200 offers that I finally accept one of them. So I would, you know, yeah. it all
shakes up.
What do they call it? Soup and nuts, nuts and soups.
I don't know that.
Whatever.
I don't know that analogy, but
it keeps coming up on some. I people go like, oh, what kind of mobile games do you play? And I'm like, the crossword app.
Hey, me too. I also what else do I play? There's another one that I play right now. Oh, it's called, it's not Sudoku. It's a Wood Doku.
Oh, is that the wood mat? What is that? Is it still numbers?
No. So they took the board and instead of numbers, you're trying to create blocks with wood, with some pre-existing things. It's like Tetris meets Sudoku.
I think I've seen it
literally keeps me up at night. It's a problem.
Woodoku is a terrible name.
Oh, it's awful. I don't even like saying it. Too. I hate saying it, but that's my thing is I'm not afraid to make those steps. I'm willing to take some, you know, take some hits in some areas that I know are going to pay off in another way later. And if you're willing to play the long game, that's the thing. A lot of people are thinking mm-hmm. quick flips. Like for example, in December, I saw an ad on Reverb. I saw a listing on Reverb, and it was for this Epiphone Dot Deluxe, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's got that red to black burst. It's not like a regular sunburst.
Oh.
It had that deep red to a black burst. That's how I knew it was a deluxe, even though it wasn't listed as a deluxe. So
I'm looking for a picture. Yeah, yeah. I've never seen the.
Yeah, I've got a few actually. I can send you if you can't find it because they're still on my phone from when I listed it for sale.
Okay, yeah. I see. It's one of the older, because the older ones had that, like, I don't know if I call that red, but I know what
you
mean.
It was like a 98. Actually, here's the back of it. It's almost a brown. I sent you a picture on Facebook. But so this guy listed it, and I was like, it popped up on my feed because it had something I had been looking for on it. I'd been looking for the downer, the Towner down tension bar, if you know what I'm talking about. It's the bar they designed to replace the stop tail if you add a Bigsby to a guitar that had a stop tail, and it serves as the down tension for the strings to go back over the bridge. Anyway, that's a stupid long story and super niche piece of gear. But I have a search for one of those because I've been thinking about putting a Bigsby back on one of my guitars. So this guitar had one. It also had a Bigsby B3 on it. He had upgraded the pickups with Fralin PAF pickups. He had added the string butler. He had added a string butler to it.
Oh, God.
He had upgraded the tuners on it. And someone before him had actually painted the inside of the F-holes white to match the binding. And so, and he had it listed like real low. I won't say how low. Mm-hmm. But it was low. And I made an even lower offer. And he took it. So he shipped the guitar out to me. I got it. Mm-hmm. I bought a $25 set of used Epiphone pickups. I bought a new stop tail and bridge to replace the Bigsby. And I bought, what else did I buy? There was one other thing that I can't remember right now. But basically
some paint thinner to fix
I didn't do that. I left those actually, but yeah, I pulled the pickups. I pulled the Bigsby. I pulled the string butler and I put the guitar back to stock basically. Mm-hmm. And all said and done, after I sold, moved everything, I made $350 and I still have the Towner, the thing I was looking for to begin with. Right. So it's one of those things. I'm willing to play the long game, possibly make some money and get the thing I want for basically free. I was actually just talking to this with a buddy of mine. And we see this all the time. We see people miss out on deals because maybe, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I don't want it. Maybe whatever. And if the deal is a stupid good deal, you need to be ready to jump because I watch people miss out on deals because they're not able to jump immediately and then somebody buys it out from under them. And it's like, if that's...
Yeah, I haven't...
No, go ahead.
I haven't found anything recently. I mean, I just haven't bought anything used in a while. And apparently somebody tried to sell an Xbox in our local Facebook marketplace or OfferUp or something. And when they showed up at the guy's house, got robbed.
Oh, no.
So that's a good time.
Yeah, no.
So that apparently that's where I live now.
Don't go to people's houses, y'all.
Yeah. But, you know, I will contact listings that I think when I look at them, like, this is probably a scam, but I need to confirm. Like, I need to make sure, you know, because it's every once in a while you get that one. Because especially, you know, it's tough because it's like the scammers now know. The way that they can get away with not knowing anything about the item or knowing very little, except, you know, that it's worth more than they're listing is by saying like they're selling it for their spouse or their dead son or whatever.
See it all the time.
But, you know, that used to be, I've missed out on some big deals, years ago. In San Diego, there was somebody who was, and I think it was legit because if it wasn't legit, they would have told me they still had it. But it was this person who was selling a pair of seven Ender guitars, seven Ender. So just write the number seven and then write the word Ender. It's going to look real familiar.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that bothered me that I didn't get that immediately.
Yeah, so she pulled them. She said that she pulled them out of the attic and that she thought they must have been her late husband's, and she doesn't know how long they've been up there. And there was one picture, and it was not a very good picture. And I emailed her and was like, I will give, I think she wanted like $300 for the pair. And I emailed her and was like, I'll give you $1,000 for the pair. And then she was like, no, they're already sold. And I said, oh, that's too bad, because that was probably $20,000 worth of guitars. I don't know. Actually, I don't think I emailed her that, because I just couldn't bring myself to it. But then I felt a little bad, because I was like, well, I was going to like lowball the hell out of her for what they're worth. But I was willing to at least give her, at the time, that was all the money I had. I think I was still in college. I would have still been in college.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no, in college, when it was when I did my most flipping. But it was all like lower price stuff. Like I wasn't doing like flipping gear to get an ES, you know, basically a custom shop 335. I wasn't doing that. I was, you know, I was flipping Blues Juniors that I found in a pawn shop for $150, and I'd flip it for, you know, $275 kind of thing.
I've got a couple pieces that, I don't know what my biggest, I'm trying to remember what my biggest flip was, because I, it would have been years ago. It's probably, it might have only been for like $200 or $300, maybe $400. But I do have one guitar that I think I will probably, every once in a while, I think about like, oh, maybe I should try to sell it. Mm-hmm. Which is, I have a Japanese contemporary Stratocaster. It does not have the bridge, because whoever, some previous owner replaced the shaller, had a shaller bridge in it, replaced it with just a standard vintage style bridge. So it's a little gutted, but I paid $100 for it.
Yeah. You're in it for nothing right now.
So I could probably, I am looking at ones that are in complete shape on Reverb right now, and they're all over $1,000. So I could probably like throw it up for, $700 and be done.
Have you ever looked at how much that bridge would be to replace it?
They used to be cheaper. They are not anymore. But the problem is there's a lot of different parts to chase down. So it's like, you, if you can find the bridge, well, can you find the fine tuning screws? If you can find the, so it's like in my case, finding the bridge is really easy. Finding the locking string tree is more difficult. Really? And the locking string tree is, I think, 7 total parts. Ooh. 'Cause it's the lower part of the string tree, and then it's the three. I mean, it's basically like a Floyd Rose,
right.
Locking nut, but it's a string tree, so it sits behind the nut.
I remember those.
Yeah. So I've also seen, right now I'm looking at a 1987 Squire that has one, because I have toyed with the idea of buying the Squire version of this, harvesting those parts, and putting it on it. I think Will LaHue, if you know Will, had one of these for a minute, and just took it and just parted the entire guitar out a few years ago. I think it was either him or, I don't know, one of those guys that's doing the pawn shop flips.
Yeah, yeah.
Buying stuff off of some pawn shop that doesn't fully understand what they have. But you got to live in a part of the country that gets, you know, good stuff like that in their pawn shops, which I don't.
See, that's interesting to me, because, you know, here we don't anymore. I used to get really flippable stuff in my pawn shops here. It just doesn't happen anymore. Well, I say that, if I'd known to buy all the PV decades I've seen in pawn shops over the decades, I don't know, I'd be able to afford, you know, custom shop Strat or something by now. If I'd known, I'd just been stocking those up in a shed somewhere.
I mean, Mississippi, you could probably have stocked up all of the PV stuff you find in pawn shops over the years.
That's, everybody's like, oh, the pawn shop brands, like such and such. I'm like, dude, our pawn shop brand is PV. Like, everything's PV. Yeah. And it's 2 decades ago, PV.
I think all of the... We did an ad on the show not too long ago on, I think it was a PV T40.
Yeah.
And then we did a deep, we started like looking into it. And I was like, no, this is, I'm like, this is a terrible deal for it. I started looking at it. I was like, oh, wait.
No,
and
it's because
it was mangled. It was all mangled up. And I was like, oh, this is like, oh, they're asking like $500 for this mangled T40 or whatever.
Right now.
And I was like, oh, well, this was so bad. Like, my whole thing was like $500 is a horrible price given the shape. Right. You know, $500 was probably a fair price.
Okay.
I don't remember what all was going on with it, but it was pretty, like, it would not have been at $500, you're buying something that you probably won't ever be able to flip.
Yeah. Whereas,
but maybe
I literally played a T40 today. I stopped in my local shop and they've got a T40. And I think they've got like $899 on it. But there's, and you know, cause you have a T20, so you know, they're heavy.
Yeah.
They're heavy.
Well, the T20's got a small body. Yeah.
Well, the T40,
it's a little thinner. So that one's
I'm pretty sure the T40 was designed so that after the gig, you could use it as a sledgehammer in the brawl that is inevitably going to be the thing that ends your gig at that bar.
Right.
But it was, we guesstimated, we didn't have a scale. That thing's 13, 14 pounds.
Good.
It's a brick. And is not comfortable to play, but that's that T40 thing. If you find an under 10-pound T40, pay whatever they're asking. Because they're fun to play, they're cool basses, and you're never going to find a lighter one. Yeah. Anyway.
Apparently, I looked up pawn shops near me, and all I'm finding are coin. This is a coin in pawn shop. Mm. So I don't know what, when you go on their website, all their listings are for things. Oh, I just went to their, they have a link to their PayPal. They're trying to sell marbles. Apparently there is a market for marbles. Literally I'm looking right now at an extra large German handmade marble, 2-inch marble for $10,000.
Oh, what?
So,
okay.
I don't know if I'm going to find any guitar stuff here. They got a lot of turquoise, which makes
apparently
sense for my part of the world.
We don't have the most ludicrously priced hobby in the world. Apparently marble collecting. But so here in Mississippi, it's funny because pawn shops here, they're pretty much glorified gun dealers. That's what they are.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they do. Everything else is periphery. So it's you know, wild, wild west over here east of the Mississippi. But so besides the flipping, what do you think just in general of gear going to look like this year? You going to NAMM? You going to go this year?
I'm trying to figure out. I know I'm going to go. Worst case scenario, I drive in and drive home. Ryan's actually saying that he might just drive in and not do anything.
Interesting.
I have my doubts because I have to imagine that if the right people show up and say, hey, we're having a party, that he's going to go. But I know some people who are already talking about getting an Airbnb. I kind of just want to go. I mean, it's trivial for me because if I go in on an Airbnb with somebody, I'm just going to like, if these guys get an Airbnb, I'm like, how much you want for me to crash on your couch?
Right. Exactly.
Like that's what I'm going to do. And most of the Airbnbs in Anaheim have really nice couches. That's what I've learned, because they have to.
Yeah.
So I just want to do that. And the show is honestly, it's kind of secondary. I just kind of want to hang out with people. So if I go, it's 3 days this year, which is weird. It's shorter. Yeah. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I can make speculation as to why it's shorter.
I mean, you can make speculation. I just don't think you need to.
Well, there's besides the fact that it's last year was in June, July.
Last year was in June.
So you're moving it, you know, 2-3 months earlier in the year. So it's not 12 months since the last one. And the next one is going to be, we speculate, I don't know if they've announced it, January of next year, back to its original place.
No, they have their dates.
Yeah, they have the date.
It's Jan.
Yeah, yep. So you're only looking.
And next year.
What, 8 months from now, they're having another?
Yeah. And next year is 4 days, back to four days. So I think until somebody says, no, I actually have inside information, I will continue to speculate that when NAMM skipped 2020, that somebody came in and swooped that January spot. And so they went back to the Anaheim Convention Center people and said, hey, we want this date. And then they just have been trying to work their way back.
Yep.
I suspect, I don't have any reason to really think this. It just makes sense to me that that the convention center probably has some kind of reservation system where once you have a date, if you say, I want the same dates next year, like you're going to get first dibs on that.
That tracks.
And in the case of something like NAMM, they probably can, you know, book, say, okay, we want that fourth weekend in January for the next several years, you know, and book multiple years at a time. But so next January, so April, it's going to be weird. I don't know. I do think next year is the real litmus test year to see how many people show up to a January, because everything until then, NAMM can just say, well, you know, it's not the normal,
right?
It's not the normal date. But at the same time, the longer it goes on that it's not normal and things don't go back to normal, I think the more, you know, manufacturers realize I don't really need to go.
That's what I think. I kind of want to go because I've never been to a California NAMM, but I can't. There's a blues festival that I've played every year since it existed. Same weekend this year. So I'm not missing that blues festival. But my plan is to be there in January. So we'll see. A year from now, I'd like to go because I want to see a California NAMM, even though if it's not what it used to be before it dies.
Yeah.
If it dies. I'm speculating it dies, but
I mean, it does kind of look like it's going to be the same setup as last year too, where the main exhibitor is going to be, you know, the showcase, at least for guitar world, is going to be Yamaha. They've got the top floor.
That's weird.
The second floor is actually kind of a weird spin. I'm looking at it right now. So ESP is still in their normal spot. PV is taking up the room across from ESP, but it's going to be PV, Buddha, Crest, Trace Elliott.
That's all the same company.
And like nobody else is really showing up.
That's it. That's like interesting.
There's a lot of empty rooms up
there. That's interesting. PV. Was PV at last NAMM? Did you see him?
I don't feel like I've ever seen PV.
They had a booth in Nashville at the one in 2021.
Well, I heard about the
booth. Yeah, there was a booth and nobody there and nothing there.
Yeah. Well, I was that the one that was the year because Ryan talked to Colt from Walrus Audio.
Yep. He got a table because it was cheaper.
Yeah, it's when you buy a table, they give you like three passes with the table. But if you buy three passes individually, it costs more.
Yeah, exactly. I do know PV did something because my local store had some reps there and they could be a PV deal. I don't know. Don't let me speak for that. But so they got invited to something PV did that was an invite only thing. But I haven't heard any announcements from them, so I don't know what that was. It was just a, hey, we still exist. We're here. I don't know. I don't know what PV's doing.
I mean, I'm looking at, you're going to have a lot of I guess it's always there, the Builders Showcase.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm seeing a lot of brands that I'm not seeing the ones I usually see there. So maybe that's not the boutique guitars. Maybe that's something else.
Yeah.
Cream Guitars, Walrus Audio. Delicious Audio. So that's the other thing is Paolo with Delicious Audio Pedal Deli. They're doing their booth, and last year a lot of the like Earthquaker devices, for example, instead of going to NAMM, they just sent a pedal board and said Paolo, or I think maybe they sent like one guy to demo their board. I don't know, something like that. So we'll see. Rev has a bigger booth. Walrus has a bigger booth. But yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is I think a lot of the brands that Ryan and I worked with when we first kind of got into this aren't doing NAMM anymore. So we're just not seeing the same people. It's kind of like a weird take, but honestly, like a lot of the basement brands, now that they're up on the main floor, it's like, who let Shenzhen Rouen out of the basement? Like, you know, they're an OEM. If you want to buy $30 Amazon pedals, more power to you. There's nothing wrong with
that. Well, they're right next to Donner, which Donner has a big booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
and they're right next, it's Donner, Shenzhen Rouen and Shenzhen Joyo all next to each other. But then, you know, you have like the booth that's there every year, and they usually have something kind of interesting is Vemram.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you have any particularly hot takes on Vemram. I know some people do.
I don't really. I mean, at this point, like I know what the hot takes are. Everybody wants to hot take. I'm basically saying they're repackaging another circuit and it's not really all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
But isn't everybody? Not everybody. They're not. There are some very innovative and very fantastic pedal makers out there. I mean, all you got to do is look at Chase Bliss and look at what they're doing. And
yeah,
there are some really innovative people out there. But there's also, I mean, drive circuits are, they're just regurgitated with a slight tweak. We've talked about it on this podcast with multiple guests. It's like,
I mean, honestly, I think the bigger gripe I've never played one. Maybe they're fantastic. I don't know. With Vemram, is it seems like their secret sauce is really just that their cases are made out of brass.
They do,
or whatever.
They do look pretty.
And so, you know, they took a tube screamer, they changed four components, which is what everybody does, and then they dropped it in a brass case and said, well, now it's an extra $100. Mm-hmm. I'm looking that Rickenbacker has their usual. Have you ever seen the Rickenbacker booth? Have you seen pictures of it? It's stupid. It's the dumbest.
Is it really?
They don't. Well, it's kind of hard to find a rep. They're probably actually all in offices taking meetings all day. All of their guitars, they're just on vertical hangers. So they're just like you're walking in and among these guitars, like just floating kind of in a way. Not really like fully floating, but they're all zip tied to the thing. So they're just there.
Nobody can touch them.
So just like Rickenbacker at any guitar store in America, you can look, but and you can look and you can touch, but you can't play. I played a Rickenbacker in a Guitar Center like 20 years ago. That's the only time I've ever played a Rickenbacker.
The only Rickenbackers I've ever played, period. When my friends in Clarksdale, Ronnie Drew, started Bluesdown Music, he started with a lot of his own collection. Like that was his stock. And so he was just selling off the stuff he had. And he had three Ricks in there. And because he owned three Ricks at the time. I think it was three. He may have only owned two and then got another one later, and that was in the store. Maybe it wasn't all at once, but those are the only three Rickenbackers I've ever played, period. You know what? I can't say that anymore. When I was in Atlanta in November, I played one at Big House Music. I did. But until then, those were the only three that I had ever played, and they were what made me hate Rickenbacker. The tiniest necks I've ever played.
You know, this is a little maybe exciting, maybe not, because that's the only thing I see. But it looks like Digitech DOD is getting their own booth. Oh,
no, that is exciting. That is really exciting.
It's a smaller booth. Mm-hmm. It's on this. Well, it's not. It's probably like a table or something. It's not too big.
You know what I like seeing? That it's. I'm not looking at it. I'm assuming booth. It's not. Court, and that's where DOD Digitech is.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's Digitech. It's the label, because I didn't even look for Court or Cortec or whatever. I just looked up, and then when you search for Court, Digitech DOD comes up.
Oh, that's good.
But the booth itself is labeled as Digitech DOD.
Nice.
So that's cool.
That is exciting.
So it'll be good to see. If they do anything this year, or just to see talk to somebody and be like, so what the hell are you guys doing? You know, What's the plan here?
Well, I'm really excited. But, I'm sad I'm not going, to be honest. I wanted to go, but, you know, there'll be January. What do you think they're going to do with Nashville? Do you think they're going to do that again?
I think Nashville's might be toast.
Yeah, I that's the vibe I'm getting. I just don't know that they're going to, I just don't know they're going to do Nashville again.
Yeah, well, I
definitely,
you went to the last one. I heard the last one was just absolutely abysmal.
Oh, it was,
it doesn't look like they have any plans for it. So I just don't, I've never been, I would like to go, but there's also, you know, other things. And I think that's the other thing too. Now, from what some people were saying is that, the problem with Summer NAMM is that the Gibson yeah. garage is cooler than Summer NAMM.
It was a lot cooler.
And like, and you could, you know, drive around and go to the Gibson garage and then go to, was it all the different, you know, Carters and Fannies yeah. and all these different places.
And that's what me and Ryan did.
Yeah, exactly. And all of those things are better than NAMM.
Yeah. Well, so that's what,
it's like, why would I want to go
to NAMM?
I think
that's what I pitched to Ryan. And I think I pitched it to a couple other folks. We ought to just do that. Just all pick a weekend and converge on Nashville and just flood it and do the thing. Record stuff and just have a good time instead of worrying about the NAMM show as this, you know, massive distraction where it's too loud and nothing. You don't actually get any real content out of it anyway, if we're being honest. I mean, Ryan tries. He does a good job of doing his best to get some content out of it. But
yeah, I don't think... I don't think there's, like I said, I don't think he's going to generate any content. I told him because, you know, his clickbait video.
Which one?
From the one that was, that where he used the like serious vlog title. It was, the title was just, I'm so tired of doing this.
That one. I'm not doing, I can't do this anymore. Or something like that. Yeah.
So I told him that I was going to go to NAMM, and he's like, oh, I just want to, he's like, I think I'm just going to do one day and like try, like I said, go up, go down, not going to film, just going to hang out and then go home. I told him, I go, dude, I'm going to go around and I'm just going to get every single person that like knows us to just say their name and say, and you're watching 60 Cycle Home.
Yes. Yes.
I go, I'm going to get like now I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I kind of want to do it. Like just get, you know, 50 or whatever random, like not randoms, but
yeah, you don't even have to go to NAMM for that. Just contact them, get them to film themselves saying it.
I mean, I could do there. That is a thing that could be done. I don't think Summer NAMM. I think it might be done.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if they want to do it, they'd have to retool. I think, you know, the thing that it all comes back to, and I've told this to different people. I think we've seen this play out in other attempts. Is that the guitar is such a small portion of the music industry, overall.
Yep.
And you don't really realize this until you take this Sweetwater sales engineer
test.
We
talked about that last time you were on. Yeah. You realize, guitar isn't really that important in the grand scheme of all this.
Yeah. And so for NAMM and for all these things, you know, it's, you know, guitar has a lot of very small brands and a lot of OEMs and whatever. But the reality is I think there's so much business being done online and being done through digital communication and Zoom meetings and, you know, apps like this where you can just have a conversation with a salesperson and, you know, and basically be face to face, that it eliminates the need for a lot of this. And especially like Nashville in July or late June, July, like, is that really a place
it's
that
brutal?
A lot of people want to go.
No, it's brutal. Have I told you the Nashville, Ryan, Jimmy Buffett story?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I'm going to save that for the Patreon episode. Then we're going to talk about Nashville, maybe inebriated Ryan and Jimmy Buffett concert. So
maybe I did hear this story. Oh, I did hear this story, but I don't. Did I hear it from you?
Oh, well, then let me give you the sober person's viewpoint of what happened. Then we'll talk about that on the Patreon episode. We won't talk about it right now. But yeah. So, what do you think? Let's as we're nearing the end of the episode. I agree. I think Summer Nam may be done, but that may mean that we genuinely need to do some kind of like YouTube podcast, like just get together in Nashville and
for sure.
And I bet we could coordinate with the stores there and with some other folks to make some fun things happen. Let's start brewing that. We'll start working that on the back end. We'll make something happen. If you are a guitar store or a company or a podcast or YouTuber in the South, talk to me, get back to me, tell me what you think, and see if that's something you'd want to do. Maybe we can make it happen and make this, you know, some big event of our own, do our own thing. We don't have to have NAMM. Screw NAMM. What do you think? So gear wise, so this really came up when I was on the Guitar Nerds podcast for Gear of the Year. You know, we're seeing fewer and fewer amps. We're seeing more strats. Just so many strats.
Yeah.
What do you think this year is gonna be like? Last year, it's felt weird since 2020, right? We all did the deep dive into like home recording. We all did the deep dive into, you know, quiet recording and practicing solutions because everybody's at home now, and now we're not, and we're trying to come out of that, and we're like, oh, do we play amps again now? Do we do this now? Oh, there's live music again now. Do we have stages with sound now? Where do you think we're going in 2023? Because there's this whole speculation that like, oh, the tube amp's dead, man.
I mean, the tube amp is never going to die.
Agreed.
I mean, I think that's just that's the long and short of it. It's never going to die. But that being said, here's what I'll tell you. I don't know when it's happening. I can tell you that we are going to continue to see old products reissued.
Yeah.
New, like old products that, you know, haven't previously been reissued from brands that maybe, you know, should or shouldn't be reissuing them. All I'll say is Ryan signed an NDA and I didn't.
Oh,
but I will abide by it for the time being.
Yeah. That tracks.
So I think there's, but I think some of that is possibly in, some of that's demand. Some of that might be a little bit of reading that tea leaves where, you know, bigger, older companies are saying, hey, are the products that we've relied on, the products we've relied on to keep this business going for years aren't selling as well as they used to, but what everybody is willing to buy is a, you know, $200-$250, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So let's produce some of those. If there's a year that's going to be the year of the phaser, maybe it needs to be this year. I don't know.
Listen, there's only one phaser you need. There's one. There's exactly one. And right now, it's not being made anymore. But I'm hearing some rumblings that there might be another run of them. I can't speak for him. I can't say that that's true. But I hear he's thinking about it. He's tossing around the idea.
What phaser is this?
Hold on. I'm going to grab it. let's see. Where is it on the shelf?
I'm like,
it's on my shelf. This.
I don't know what that is.
This is
phase control.
This is the electromotive sound.
From electromotive.
Phase control sound modulator. This.
I thought he shut down.
He did, but I have been hearing some rumblings. I'm not saying he is or isn't. I'm saying he might be able to be convinced.
I need to pay more attention to your Discord, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. Ben doesn't talk in Discord. And maybe this is me wishful thinking based on some things that were said. But you know, there's a possibility. I hate that my camera's not focusing. Oh, there it is.
That's too many switches, man.
Dude, like, it's so good.
Phase 90 is one knob.
Dude, this thing is so good. I can do everything from Univibe to Ring Mod with this. I can. He's also this setting over here, for you YouTube folks, over on the left, is that left side? Yeah, left side of the pedal. You can set two different speeds for the phase.
Okay.
And then you have a foot switch to switch between them. So they're like presets.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
And then he's got a switch that, you know, sets them at like a normal speed. And then there's like, oh, it's faster. So you can reset it. And then there's ring mod speed to get straight up ring modulator.
Interesting.
It's so cool.
So is that just like a bypass?
Yeah. It's so good. I need to put it back on a board, to be honest.
I think it's funny that every year someone says like, oh, it's going to be the year of this, the year of that. But I do think there are maybe not gear. Well, because like every industry does.
Yeah.
It,
you know? Well, we did the rat like two years ago. Everybody made a rat.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. That's where I had that conversation is Walrus just released their reverb fuzz.
Oh, reverb they fuzz did.
Combo.
Yeah. And, The melee.
Yeah. And before that, they had a reverse delay. And so it seems like they are getting into the weird, you know, because Walrus has kind of always been a indie ambient, whatever, like with products like the Slow. But they're starting to get into that weirder space that, you know, some other brands have kind of occupied by themselves for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think all it really takes is one company to kind of make a product that moves a ton of units or gets a lot of hype for like all of a sudden like, oh, it's the year of the dotted eighth delay or whatever, or the triplet delay or the reverse forward phase verb.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be something wild and then we'll claim it.
The reverb is reverse, but the phase is,
and the fuzz, and the fuzz is normal. It's like all of that together. Yeah. I think we're past that where like, yeah, you're going to see a bunch of the same type of things come out, but you're also going to see a bunch of stuff that isn't. It's one of those things that like when I got a red car for the first time, you know, I thought, oh, I don't see a lot of red cars until I had a red car. And then I was like, there's so many red vehicles on the road. And it's like, you don't see it because you're not looking for it. Then the moment you're looking for it, you see all the stuff that was there before.
Yep.
You just didn't notice it. So really what happened is JHS put out a rat and then everybody saw rats everywhere for that 1 year. Because that's what happens. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to wrap up here. We're going to go tell Nashville Ryan stories over on Patreon. If you want to support the podcast, you can go over to patreon.com/40wattpodcast. And for as little as $3 a month, you can get this episode ad free every week coming this year. I've got a lot of goals for this year, y'all. There's going to be a lot of content. We're crossing our fingers. We're going to make it happen. For $5 a month, you get this episode ad free. Plus you get a bonus Patreon episode every week. We also have a Discord for this podcast. You do not have to be a Patreon supporter to join the Discord, although there is a Patreon supporter only channel in the Discord that you obviously can't see if you're not a Patreon supporter. So you can go over to Linktree, go to the notes down below here. You can find all the Discord info. You can find all the links. It's all those things. Go over to 40wattpodcast.com. So that's all I got. Steve, thanks for coming on and chatting with me.
No problem.
Yeah, and so we're going to go over to Patreon. Before we do, I want to thank all of my Patreon supporters. At the $10 high wattage level, we have Ben Fair, who made these wonderful pedals and hopefully will make some more. We're going to convince him. Dan Pilver from Lewitt Audio. Heath Batt. At the $5 level, medium wattage, we have Alan Gresham. We have Andy Koning, we have Giacomo Ride, we have Jeffrey Walks, we have Jim Burns, Kyle Harris, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, we have Scott Hamilton of the Effects Loop Podcast, and Tom Kelly. Thank you all for your support. Y'all have been incredible in making this podcast happen, and I can't do it without you. But for the rest of you and for my Patreon supporters, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being around. And here's to a whole bunch more fun content in 2023. Be good to yourselves. Be kind to
each other. You just did this long outro. Uh-huh. Can I plug one thing?
No, no, we already know. No, okay. I'm kidding. Yes, please.
Dang it. No, I was going to say, if you've only watched 60 Cycle Hum for Ryan's demos, which, hey, cool. But if you want to check out the podcast, I would say if you're into used gear and you're into stupid listings, check out the podcast once. Maybe check it out twice. This year for 2023, every week, Ryan and I, we're going to do 3 or 4 ads. We're going to pick our favorite and we're going to send that person a gift card.
Oh, yeah.
So that's our thing this year. That's our give back, I guess, if you want to call it a give back. But we're kind of getting back to our roots. That's the goal. Honestly, like, there's so many shows that cover new topics, cover like what's going on. There was some news today. I don't remember what it was. I was like, oh, that could be a good podcast topic. But it's like, there's going to be 10 other gear podcasts that do it. Yep. So we're trying to get back to our roots, and we're doing topics if something like we talked this week, the episode that'll come out on the 23rd, we're going to talk about the Fender Gold Foils.
Oh, nice.
But then the episode that comes out the 30th, we're not talking about anything. No, actually, we do have a topic. We got a good suggestion for that one. But some weeks we're not going to do a topic.
Yeah, no, it's, I dig it.
We're going to do ads.
And so, and I'm sorry, I just ran right through you a chance to plug. Sorry, I'm rusty, it's Steve. Fine. It's been a while.
People know who
I am. Or they hope they do. I suspect that our listenership is very much a circle in the Venn diagram.
Oh,
but my
circle is
this small circle in the midst of y'all's big circle. So I suspect they know who you are. But yeah, y'all listen to the 60 Cycle Hum podcast, the whole giving away $20 gift card, gift certificate thing to something that's local to you. I love that you're doing that too. So that's kind of rad.
Yeah, yeah. So it can, if we can get a digital for something that's local, then we'll do it. Otherwise, you know, Sweetwater Guitar Center, Toman, we'll figure out. Obviously, like, there's no point in sending a Sweetwater gift card to a winner in like Denmark.
Yeah, that didn't do it. That's not very helpful. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so send in your ads is what he's saying, y'all. Send them ads.
Yeah, send them 60cyclehumcast@gmail.com if you want to do
it. Yeah, that I will put that email down in the link description below. If I remember, I'm making a note right now. Put 60cyclehum email in description, because if I don't write it down, it's not going to happen. Awesome.
I know how that goes. Yeah.
So in the meantime, y'all, as we were saying before, be good to yourselves, be kind to each other, and make some noise.
This episode is brought to you by the supporters of 40 Watt Podcast over on Patreon. Go over to patreon.com/40wattpodcast, where for as little as $3 per month, you can help support the podcast and get every episode ad-free. For $5 a month, you'll get every episode ad-free, as well as a bonus episode every week. I can't overstate how thankful I am for the support of my patrons, and hope you'll consider joining the team and helping keep this show on the road.